Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. You there, Cindy?
Yes.
You're live. You there?
Yes.
You're live.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at motorsports. I'm your plan B and S. I'm getting an S grade for today. Host battling rain and sleet and snow to bring you tonight's episode. Most importantly, though, thank goodness we have Bruce Silver in the house. Bruce is racing the Silver State Road Course Challenge out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. That happens every winter because in Vegas, we can race in the winter, not like everywhere else across the country. So it's so awesome. How many years have you been racing the Silver State Road Course Challenge, Bruce?
Probably 4 or 5 years for this. I've been racing legend cars, though, for almost 16 years.
Yeah, tell us about that. So where did you start racing legends?
I started back in Charlotte at the summer shootout, and I had totally the wrong idea. You know, my background is the radio business. I was the founder of Racing Electronics, so I was around racing and NASCAR and race cars for a long time. But when you get in the car, it's a whole different thing.
So what was the first race track that you ever drove?
Charlotte Motor Speedway, quarter mile.
Really? So your first time you ever raced was Charlotte in a Legends car?
That's correct.
Wow. So racing then, it's not like you grew up racing as a kid and with the Silver Spoon and raced your whole life and now you're still racing. You just barely started racing 15 years ago.
That's correct. Yes.
Yep. What made you decide to go racing Legends cars?
Well, I moved from New Jersey down to North Carolina. And some people that worked for me told me to get involved. They said, take a ride in one of these. And we went out on a Saturday afternoon to the winter heats in Charlotte on the fifth mile. And I thought, yeah, this is really cool. I mean, I had seen them on the track, but never up close. And that was it. I made a deal with Bob Dillner, who did my cars for the first couple of years. And
Bob Dillner, the announcer?
That's the one. Yeah. He was my first car owner.
Okay.
So did a deal with him, and we did that for a couple of years. And then I bought my own rig and started traveling myself. Back with Gregory Lang was on my team.
So you said you're from New Jersey? Because you don't have a Jersey accent.
You don't think I have a Philly accent? Well, I was actually born and raised in Philly. A lot of people thought I was. But I've lived in North Carolina, New Jersey, and now I've been here.
You don't have a North Carolina accent either.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
So
now,
how long did you race in Charlotte before? So you've raced in Vegas for 4 years. Did you race in Charlotte the whole time and then just came to Vegas?
Well, I've been here. My first win was actually on the quarter mile. My crew chief, Chris Klein, would be very happy for the mention, I'm sure. He was my first win crew chief, and I won it on the quarter mile after the cup race. And then I started racing the bull ring.
Where was the quarter?
The quarter mile in Las Vegas Motor Speedway. That was my first involvement in Las
Vegas. Like on the infield of the big truck?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow. That was your first win, you said?
My first win, yes. And Nelson Stewart.
In front of the big crowd of all the NASCAR people?
Yeah. Oh, well, pretty much everyone was gone. But we were on PRN Radio. They did a live broadcast of it.
No way.
Cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
So for people that don't know, during the Cup race, they would have, like, exhibition, legend car, bandolero car, to show people, you know, how they could get involved in racing. And it's also kind of a filler, so, you know, you don't have to wait in traffic to leave the track. You can stay and watch some racing. So you won. That's a pretty big, a lot of important people were at the track that day when you won. So,
yeah, but it sounds a lot more than it was. You know, it was back now. Now looking back, it was actually not a big win. I've had bigger wins, but I've never won the summer shootout. Doggone it! I've come close a few times.
The
summer shootout back in Charlotte.
Oh, in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Do you go do that still?
I went back a couple of years ago and. Got about four laps in on practice on Monday. Then it started to rain, and we came back on Tuesday. We were told we had to go home because of COVID. They were locking it down. Memories, huh?
Yeah. 2 hours ago. So what made you come to Vegas?
Well, my daughter and my grandkids live here, and Susan and I moved out here from North Carolina together and just started a new adventure. And we're still doing the adventure. Yeah.
Vegas, though, of all places, you said it's because your daughter was out here. What brought her out here?
Well, she was raised out here. I went to UNLV and got married to her mother back east, and things didn't work out. So she's here now, and, you know, we see each other and have a lunch with her tomorrow.
Okay, so you have roots here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Las Vegas has been in my blood since I was 15 years old.
Wow. Cool. So are you, like, retired now, just racing?
Sort of, kind of. I have a lot of projects that I work on. I have a small radio company, two-way radio company, to help out the local racers. Name of that company.
Tell us about the radio.
Pardon?
Tell us about the radio.
Radios. Well, it's fun using... And safer using radios. It's a good instructional tool. Racing electronics, we started that back in the late 80s, and it still continues today.
How did you get involved in that?
That's a whole nother story I was working as a manager for an automobile dealership and sold a Rolls Royce to a man that owned a race team. And I didn't know what racing was. I grew up in Philly. I wasn't a racer, and he started taking me to the races, and I fell in love with it, and got into the radio business by accident because he asked me to this guy that bought the car from me asked me to hold on to his headset while he watched his son-in-law race Super Dirt Week, and he won that race, and it was just the most exciting thing. And it started out as a scanner company racing electronics. And quickly evolved into a full-service two-way radio and scanner company. So today I have radios for racing, which is just a little hobby business, like I said. I sell all racing electronics products and help the racers out here. You know, we do custom air molds and helmet installations.
So racing electronics is like a NASCAR institution now. Like, you can't not go to a NASCAR track and not see racing electronics there.
Yeah.
So you started that, and how did you grow it so fast, so big?
I guess catering to the fans. We saw a need, and we saw how to fill it, and we ended up having in Daytona maybe 15 trailers or 15 locations, and actually NASCAR now owns Racing Electronics.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
So was that enough to give you lots of race car money so you can race your own car?
They were my sponsor. Racing Electronics was my sponsor, so it worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not doing Racing Electronics anymore, though. You said you're doing Racing for Radios.
Radios for Racing.
Radios for Racing. Is it similar, like, you're just doing it for racers now?
Yeah, and it's just a hobby. I don't really advertise. I have a Facebook page. I have a website. But it's more just helping out the people out in the West Coast, because they have Frank, and Frank and I are very good friends, but he can't be everywhere every time.
I see. So you do like a similar thing, like with parts and repairs and things?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of, for those people that aren't drivers, what kind of radios do racers need?
Well, you use a two-way radio. Motorola is the most popular brand of two-way radio, and it's all analog. You can listen on a scanner, so if you go to a race at the Bullring, you can go and grab your scanner and listen to the announcer, listen to the live race control, and listen to some drivers.
That's pretty cool. I guess better watch what we say.
Everybody's listening.
So you started, let's go back to racing. You started racing a Legends car, and you're still racing a Legends car. Have you raced any other kind of cars?
No. I attempted to get a Northeast Modified one time, and I was a little bigger than I am today, and I kind of got stuck. And that was kind of that was at the summer shootout, and it was an exhibition thing, and 30 of my closest friends and enemies were standing around laughing at me as I got stuck trying to get in this little Modified.
Are any other cars that you would race if you could?
I'm happy in Legend car racing. We were just talking about the truck deal, and I think that's a great opportunity for somebody. But at this point in my career, I'm going to be 68 in April, and I think I'm going to stick with Legend cars for a while.
What do you like about the Legends cars? Because, I mean, I've driven a couple different kinds of cars, and to me, those are the hardest. You have to be on your game. You can't make mistakes. They're very twitchy. The power-to-weight ratio is insane.
We do dice it up. That's for sure. And I've crashed a number of times here at the Speedway at high speed, and every time, knock on wood, walked away without even a bruise or a scratch. So these cars are built extremely safe. And as long as you follow the guidelines on safety equipment and seats and good fire and safety equipment, very safe.
And you do the oval also?
Yeah, I do the Bullring, and a couple years ago, I went down to Tucson for the big race down there. But I was going to go to the Winter Nationals in Florida this year, but it's a little too much. So we're going to back down a little bit and concentrate on the Bullring.
I'm getting close. I'm almost there.
Okay.
We're waiting on you patiently.
We're here.
Uh-huh. I don't think you're being very patient, Gary.
We're here waiting on you patiently.
So there's different classes. Like if people that have never been to the Legend races, it's kind of different at the road course because they split. It's just Legends and Bandoleros at the road course, so that's fun. And then, so you've got Young Lions, Semi-Pro, Pro, and Master. Which one do you race?
I'm a Master. Master is any driver that's over 40.
So you're just barely,
I'm barely a Master, yeah.
Actually, Master makes it sound like, you know, you're like a master at it. Showing these young guys how to do it.
Well, the pros out there, they act like they're supposed to act like pros, but last weekend, I understand it was a little bit tough at the road course for the pros, not the Masters. Masters were fine.
Yeah. And then you guys got to race your own race at the road course last time, just all the Masters. Do you prefer that, or do you like racing with the pros also?
I'd rather have a lot more cars in the race. I know there's a lot more risk for crashing, and I think I kind of wish the pros would just settle down, and even the master drivers at some point would just settle down and race on the road course like you're supposed to. It's not a contact sport. The bullring is a little different story. We make a little more contact, and it's a little different there. But we're going real fast on the backstretch at the road course. I think my GPS picked it up at 113 miles an hour, and
Woo!
I'm not the fastest car out there.
That's pretty
cool. Yeah, it is. It's fast.
That's moving.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, going in circles or the right and left?
You know, I like both. They're totally different. I'm not a very good road racer. I run. I what?
You were up front the whole weekend.
No, I missed Saturday. First of all, I had a game I had to go to at the stadium. But I raced Sunday, and they had reversed I didn't have any practice coming into it, and it was a reversed course. So I really spent my first practice trying to get down to the course and even qualifying. So I didn't do that great. And there's guys that come in from all over. We have people from Alaska that come in and they race with us because road racing is a lot different than oval racing. And a lot of people do it very seriously. We have two or three teams that are coming in from the Carolinas to race with us out here. So this is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And, I mean, didn't you finish, like, fifth on Sunday?
No, I started 11th and finished 10th,
I think. You were in fifth. I saw you.
Yeah. Maybe I was getting...
But 11th out of... There's, like, 30 cars.
No. I started in the back intentionally. I didn't have a good qualifying run. And, you know, it was a rough day for racing, but it was a lot of practice experience. I just put a new timer on my car so I could really tell how fast my lap times were. And it really motivated me and helped me to pick up time. And I picked up a lot of time during the race. When we go back in 2 weeks, unfortunately, we're going to be on a different course. So we'll have to learn that again, but I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
Who else do you have helping you with your car?
Peyton is my third gen racing, is my crew chief, and he takes care of the cars and transports them back and forth, Peyton Saxton. And we have support from quite a few other people that he brings along with him. But it's his main setup. I have some great teammates too that I race with. Jordan Holloway is one of my teammates, and TJ Roberts and Michidome. So it's a great team.
So do they like ask you questions? Hey, how do I get into this corner faster?
They offer help, yeah. The biggest help to me was Carl Cormier from Charlotte. He's been working with me a couple times out here over the years, and we're kind of friendly, so he's helped me out. And I've picked up a lot of time because of that. Now, on the bullring is a different story there. I am a lot more confident, and I have a lot more laps in there, so I feel I do a lot better in the bull ring than I do on the road course.
the boring seems like there's a lot more, like you said, there's a lot more contact.
But yeah, it's a full contact sport at the boring. The pace car driver also drives a little erratically at the bull ring.
Man, that pace car driver gets a workout during the legend car races.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Did you leave us?
Can't hear you anymore, but I was going to ask you about, so we're about ready to do the next season. Are you gonna, are you all in for the bull ring for 2023?
Yeah, I believe so. We have a shortened season. I think there's only going to be 20 races for us, but I intend to do them all. In fact, I'm not going to Tucson because, well, that may have been... I don't have my calendar in front of me, but there was a race that conflicted with Tucson, that so I'm not going there either.
What about, like, Havasu?
I've been to Havasu once. I like it. I would go back again occasionally, you know, a couple times maybe during the year.
How's Havasu compared to the bull ring?
Oh, it's completely different. It's a whole new learning curve there, and it's a lot rougher. I struggled there quite a bit. Oh yeah, but that's done for me, you know. Peyton Saxton, he takes care of all that. I just go and give him comments on you know, what I think he should do. And then he does what he thinks he should do.
Him, it sounds like a racer to me.
He is a racer. So you've driven a legend car, Cindy?
Hot lap.
Oh,
and
that's
very
cool.
I hot lapped at Speed Vegas. Remember Speed Vegas?
Oh yeah,
that was
3 years. 2 years ago. 3 years ago. Yeah. I wasn't down there.
Yeah. I was supposed to race, but then Dennis wrecked the car. Like, I let him race on Saturday, and then I was gonna race on Sunday. Then he wrecked it.
Oh boy.
So.
Yeah.
My legend car debuted.
Well, we still have cars out there for available.
Speaking of setup, do you have like a totally different car for the road course, or you use the same car, you just change the setup?
I use the same car, but the setup's totally different. And it's going, you know, after the road course is really rough on the equipment. You're doing a lot of braking, a lot of shifting, a lot of hard turning. So the car is going to have to be all torn down and rebuilt, basically, for the bull ring.
Do you change the engine often?
No, the engine now, we're using a new engine, Z09, and that engine is a water-cooled engine. So we don't have the overheating problems that we used to have. And after every run, you'd have to put fans on them and try to cool them down. And so we don't deal with that anymore. It's a lot more horsepower, a little bit more horsepower, a little less torque. But the motors last a whole lot longer. U.S. Legend Engine Shop does a great job.
What are some of the things that you have to do for every race? You get new tires.
All I do, you know, me, I'm the easiest. I just get in the car and turn the steering wheel and push the pedals. So I don't do, they don't trust me with a wrench, and I don't blame them.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
But they let you drive. That's good.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Yeah. No, they let me drive.
For someone that is interested in getting involved in legend car racing, what would you tell them?
You won't regret it. It's one of the best things I've ever done. It keeps me young. It keeps me aware. It keeps me thinking. It's good for my reflexes, my brain, and I have a lot of fun doing it. You know, it's funny because during the holidays, I was going through this thing. Do I really want to continue? And how much more do I want to do? And I went to the track on Sunday with an open mind, and I came back with a smile on my face, even though I finished pretty much in the back. I had a great time, and so I'm committed for the year.
really cool. Racing, it, for me, it's like a family, you know. Like you said, it doesn't even matter where you finish. You're out there having fun with your friends and your family, and everyone pitches in and helps each other. You find that?
Absolutely. This is such a great – when I did the summer shootout, it was every Monday and Tuesday during the summer in Charlotte, and it was like summer camp. I went to summer camp when I was a kid. It was like going to summer camp, and it was very enjoyable. Palling around with everybody and, you know, standing along the wall. It's just nothing like it.
Boring, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, in Charlotte, the only difference there is we're all in a garage. So we're all together. We're all walking through the building. So in that sense, it's a little bit different. But absolutely, you know, I made some real good friends at the bullring and at the road course. And
the
people make it.
People from all over.
Yeah, the people make it the experience.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of people, our friend Kevin Terrell, he's kind of running that series now.
He is.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. He's doing a very good job with it. He was out there this weekend. He was very involved. They were having some issues with restarts and things, and he just dug right in and took care of it.
Yeah, sent him to the back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's because of the Speed Vegas, huh? He learned everything.
Oh, okay.
Kevin. Is Kevin listening?
He was. No. I don't know if he still is.
He was. Oh. So I was going to say about Kevin, too, like, I think hell froze over because he actually got behind the wheel of a race car on December 31st. Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so Kevin used to race legend cars.
Yeah.
So, and he's been building a pro late model for, I don't know, 19 and a half years now. We always give him a hard time because it just sits in his garage. But he didn't actually race that car, but I guess he got behind the wheel.
Very cool.
Car. So, yeah, and I think that's super valuable to have whoever's, like, running your series be a race car driver, too, because they get it.
Well, the guy that runs the bullring sure has plenty of experience, and he does an amazing job. TJ is the best. I'm not trying to take anything away from Kevin. Kevin's terrific, but he's learning. He's doing a great job, and we're gonna do this a long time together. TJ Clark, he's showing everybody how the racetrack should be run.
Yeah, we got to definitely give props to TJ because he stepped up. You know, we weren't sure they were going to open the bullring back up after the pandemic. But because we did the Speed Vegas deal, TJ's like, well, that wasn't bad. Let's run the bullring.
A lot went into that. A lot went into that after that conversation, I'm sure.
Yes, I know. Intimately.
Hmm.
And the cool thing is the track said yes.
And the cooler thing is he proved himself right.
And he did, yeah.
Yeah.
So Chris Powell, you know, stepped up and said, okay, give it a shot. He says, I like short track racing. Let's keep it going. Because they really had no financial reason to get it going again. I mean, look at the parking lot of the bullring. They probably make more money renting out the land than they do doing the races. I don't think they're making money at the, you know, putting on the races. But they do it because it's short track racing. It's a community event. And so for Chris Powell to go ahead and say, yeah, go ahead and give it a try, you know. I mean, we didn't have a purse. We didn't have – we just, like, winged it. And that was, you know, props to Chris Powell for letting TJ do
– Well, bravo to the crew because I don't know
everybody
what I would do with my weekends if it wasn't for the bullring. I'd find something to do, though. Susan would keep me busy.
sure you're going to be even bigger and better now that, you know, we've got a couple years under our belt. We're getting the themes for the fans down. We're trying to get more fan involvement with the drivers because, to me, that's where it's at. You know, like we were saying, in the pits, it's kind of a family sport, but it's with the fans, too. You know, if you're just going to go to a racetrack and watch cars run around in circles, that's not very exciting. But if you've gone to the autograph session and you've gotten Bruce Silver's autograph and then you see him in the race, you're going to be like, that's my guy. And then, you know, it gets you involved in it. So that's super important to, you know, for fan engagement. So that actually should be coming out this week, the different themes that we do this year. So that's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think about the last race being the July 3rd race?
Well, I think that's great. It's going to give us a time to stay off the track in really the heat of the summer, except for that one race, and let us do some other things in the fall. So initially I was a little put off by it, but I actually think it's a good thing. And
yeah, and it's not like there's not any races after that. They're just not points races. We still have the open show. And the biggest thing is we're not racing our full schedule with the ARCA race. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a little disappointing. A little disappointing. But we have plenty of racing, so we can all go out there as fans and watch it.
I thought the ARCA race, I thought it was too long. And for some reason, everyone left after the ARCA race when the best racing was yet to come, so to speak.
I agree, yeah. Yep, that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. Last year we had the Legends National races in Vegas. That was a big deal.
That was great. Every other year it seems to be coming back to Las Vegas, and that's a good plan. I don't know where it's going to be this year, this coming fall, but last year we
had Charlotte.
Oh, maybe. Last year it was here, and I finished sixth in that. And there were 28 cars, I think, that started. So I had a good race. I think I gave up a couple positions, two positions on the last couple laps that I really didn't need to. I kind of got snookered, and that was my own fault.
That was definitely a fun weekend.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that you used to race with your son, too. Does he still race?
Well, he was actually my ex-wife's son, and he does not race anymore. He was very good. He won the national championship for semi-pro in 2011.
And does your daughter and your grandkids come out and watch you race?
You know, it's funny. They've seen me race a bunch, and the first 5-6 times, every time they come out, there would be a problem. I'd crash, I'd break something. So, but they've been back since and have seen the good racing, but it didn't start out real well.
Where'd you go, Cindy? Uh-oh, we must have lost her.
Yep, there she's coming back, I think.
You there, Cindy?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Loud and clear.
Oh. I think because I'm getting close, I can't really hear anymore. But you can hear me still?
Yes.
Here, 2023 Star Nursery came back on board, so that's super exciting. And we're going to have what did you think of the autograph session, Bruce? Was that like a pain in the butt, or you really like seeing all the fans?
I'll be honest with you. I like doing it, but it's too frequent as far as I'm concerned. Every week is just too much. Every one of the races. I think it should be something more special, and maybe there should be some other things for the fans to get involved in, so that it's not just, there's another autograph session every week. I'm ready, though. they call me out there. I'm out there.
Yeah, this year we're going to make it where you have to do all the autograph sessions to get the points money at the end of the year. But that's super important for engaging the fans.
I agree. And I don't think there's very many drivers that don't come out. There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few. Like, if you wreck in practice or something and, you know, you just can't get out there because your car's wrecked or you're busy fixing your car, I get that. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone at the Bullring is on board with, you know, we're entertainment. So we got to be there for the fans.
And I've met some really terrific fans out there. And it's nice for the drivers to have that ability to get one-on-one time with the fans and hear what they have to say. And they can put a face with the name and the race car. And this way they're out there cheering for you. You know, if they like you when you sign the autograph, they're going to be cheering for you. And that's important. We can hear in the car when people are excited about us.
You can hear it in the car?
Oh, yeah. We can hear it and feel it.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it's cool to have them come down before the race, too, so they see you, so they know who to root for. Otherwise, before that, they had to just come out into the pits after the race, you know, when you're busy loading your stuff or...
And then all the fans want to get out, get home. So this works out a whole lot better.
I couldn't really hear your answer about the grandkids, but are they interested in racing at all?
They're not interested. They like to come out and watch me race occasionally. My granddaughter, she doesn't like the noise. She doesn't go to the hockey games or football games because she can't stand the noise. But she's been out a number of times. My grandson, he comes out with me occasionally. And he's actually spotted for me a couple times. And he's 12. No, 13.
Do they, like, want to sit in the race car at all?
Everyone wants to sit in the race car until they do. It seems my son, he's 34 years old. He's back in New Jersey. He'll come out. He's my biggest fan, and he'll come out and he wanted to drive the car around the parking lot. And it was fun watching him. I asked him if he wanted a race, because he lives not far from Wall Stadium. He could race up there, but I don't think he's into it.
And then you said the radios that you do for racers, how can people get a hold of you for that?
They can call me directly, 702-583-3332. Reach out to me on Facebook. Email me, bruce@silver-ventures.com, and I'm very responsive.
And then if you want custom molds with that, I can hook you up with the custom molds that go with your radio.
Yes. We take the impressions, send them to the lab in North Carolina. The lab in North Carolina will scan the impressions that we take. They save it as a scan file, and they so they can reproduce them instantly for just a matter of hours. They can send a new set out.
That's cool. And I'm a professional impression taker.
I know you are.
So train professional on that. So
I know you are, yeah.
You can come see me, get your impressions, give them to Bruce, he'll send them off.
There you
go. Get your hearing better.
That's a great idea.
It's the impression that makes the difference, I think, because if you have ill-fitting earpieces, if you can't really hear your spotter, maybe you don't want to hear your spotter, but if you do actually want to hear your spotter, then you need a perfect fit.
Yeah.
From a professional.
So funny story. Have you ever gotten the impression material stuck where you couldn't get it out? Formed a vacuum?
No, I'm pretty good at not vacuuming them.
So I was doing Daniel Hemrick's ear impression. He was a good friend of mine.
And you got it stuck.
He was a legend car driver back then.
Really?
And I had to send
So basically all the famous real race car drivers were legend car drivers?
Oh, basically, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A legend car is an unbelievable tool for learning to race because of the short wheelbase and the power ratio. Very difficult to drive. It's like driving on ice skates.
Yeah. I mean, look, Denra, it helped his career. So you got the impression it got a vacuum?
Yeah, I got a vacuum and had to get him pulled out. So his mom did it.
Oh.
And yeah, that's the ones you remember, right?
Does he remember, like, if you see him in the garage area, he's like, hey.
Yeah, he'll remember that.
You guys are friends, like, off the racetrack, too?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're friendly. We don't hang out. He lives back in Charlotte, and he's got a busy NASCAR life now.
Yeah.
So
he used to be sponsored by South Point. That's how I remember him.
Mm-hmm. He's a really good guy. Just had another baby.
Aw, well, congratulations to the Hemrick.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you said that you first got started because of Dillner. Were you like friends with Bob Dillner?
So because of my involvement with NASCAR and being at the track every week, we got to know each other in our truck. He would come hang out in our truck. And
he seems like a nice, fun guy.
He is. Yeah. He's a good guy. And I had a lot of fun with him. So we would talk at the track, and it started out as a joke. And then he said, well,
what do you mean, like a joke? You were like, dude, let me drive your car?
Yeah. And then it got more and more serious. And then he said, okay, you're going to come to the track on Monday and practice. And then on Tuesday, you'll come and race. And I said, I don't need to practice. I just want to race the car. So he said, that's not an option.
Okay.
And I learned how important practice is.
Yeah, so do tell. How important is practice?
It is very important. You need to – well, I'll tell you how important it is. I missed one practice, and it put me in the back on a – because my tires weren't hot during qualifying, and I ended up starting in the back, and that was the one where Chloe ended up on her lid.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was
– I had a great shot
right
at that.
Right in front of me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was right in the infield there. Like, oh. There's nothing slowing that thing
funny
down.
Thing is, I thought you went over my car. And
I think there was air happening. There was.
Yeah, there
something
was,
went
but
over.
She never touched my car.
Oh.
And my spotter was telling me, oh, you've got major damage.
It didn't even touch your car?
It didn't even touch my there was no damage.
Yeah.
It just looked like there had to be. Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
So what you're saying is practice. You don't have to start in the back and get almost flipped over.
Yeah. Show up for practice. It's a good
Well,
idea.
And then you were saying at the road course, since they reversed the direction this last time, you said you didn't get much practice?
No, I only got one round of practice, and then we qualified. We had a qualifying heat, and then we had a race. So there wasn't really a lot of time to work on my my line and my skills.
Because you missed Saturday too, right?
I did, yeah. I went to the Raiders game.
Oh, you did in the Raiders game. Mm. Yeah. Probably should have been at the racetrack instead.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry, Raiders fans.
But well, there weren't enough Raiders fans there anyway, so
yeah,
they needed all they could get.
That's cool. So you're content with doing legend cars for that's it for the rest of your life?
Just legend cars for right now.
Yeah.
I got to drive a Ferrari on a road course in Montreal one time. That was kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
When we were out at Speed Vegas, they have all those fancy cars out there. Did you drive any of those?
Nah, never have.
Yeah, because we got a discount out there for doing that.
You know, that's a dangerous thing. It's what happened with me 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when I decided with Dillner I was going to give this a try.
Yeah.
I just wanted a race, one race. That's all I wanted.
That's like being off-road.
So it's addicting. You can't stop.
So you're afraid if you drive a Ferrari out there, you're going to be like, I got a Ferrari now?
Exactly.
Yeah. The guy that won the pro race last weekend.
Jordan.
O'Brien?
O'Brien, yeah.
Isn't he a Ferrari racer?
Mm-hmm. He's a pro deal. He's the real deal. Wow, he won the race.
Yeah, that was impressive. But mm-hmm. it's not like he walked away with it. I mean, no. We have a lot of impressive drivers out there.
We do. And I wish Jordan Hollow was out there on the road course with us too, because he's really
cool. Yeah, one of our national champions.
Yeah. We brought home the medal from this year. Yeah.
We put our name on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you guys want to be champions? It happens in Vegas.
That's right.
And you got the Masters Championship.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, no, I got them for Las Vegas. I didn't get the national. I came in eighth or something in points nationally.
That's amazing, though. Eighth nationally.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Like I said, so if you want to race at all, you got to come to Vegas before it's happening.
That's right.
So speaking of other races, though, too, we're almost out of time. I can't believe it. I just got here in time to close.
Yes.
I battled rain, wind, sleet, and snow for y'all.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's crazy. Blythe coming up. Are you guys going to race legend cars at Blythe?
We're working on it, yes. Okay. We're working on it.
So let's say a little track 3 hours south of here has some legend car racing. Would you go down there?
I'd consider it, sure.
What's
I might.
The purse, Gary?
I can't. Kevin Terrell, you better start talking quick.
That's the key. Oh, yeah. Did you? Does any of your races conflict with the boring?
Do you mean TJ Clark's races conflict with Blythe? Yes.
Okay, so TJ doesn't have much say in the dates. After everybody sells what they're going to sell, then they say, okay, TJ, here's your leftovers. Pick what mm-hmm. races you want. And then he picks, and he sends it back. And then they're like, oh, no, we can't do that because we have NHRA or whatever. So he's a very limited ability to pick what days we get to race at the Bullring. So it's not TJ. It's the redheaded stepchild, whatever's leftovers we get at the Bullring. So how does that leftover schedule compare with Blythe, the one that you can control and do whatever you want?
Only one race.
Okay.
Only one race all year. So far right now, today, as I talk.
How many races do you have planned?
Ten.
And what are the classes?
Super stocks, mini stocks, factory stocks, modifieds, and sportsmen.
Wait, if there's a mini stock and a factory and a super stock.
Yeah.
No, I
what's
think
the difference? Well?
And a what?
Oh, you're working with Kevin on legend cars?
Working.
Come on, Kevin.
But working, never mind. I love Kevin. Kevin's a great guy.
He is.
Yeah.
Kevin's a great guy.
He's short.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got that pit wall,
yeah.
You know, down there.
That's funny, yeah. Where it's lower on one side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. So when is opening night?
February 11th.
And when is practice?
January
28th. January 28th is also practice for the Bullring.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And,
oh, I haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah, and so then, practice, and then the first race is like February 17th.
February 4th is also another practice.
And February 4th, you have two practice dates.
And then opening night.
Is
3 weeks in a row.
And are you racing the late model truck series on February
11th? No.
No.
Nope.
Have you announced the late model truck series schedule yet?
Nope.
Is you're waiting on a Vegas
date?
Do you
want me to be honest with you, or can we just end that conversation?
So it's soon to be out because we're waiting on Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
That's exactly who we're waiting on.
But other than that,
last year, hold on, last year, I'm sorry, in 21, we were told in a driver's meeting, if you call me, I will call you back. Mm-hmm.
I think you might have to call Debbie.
Uh-huh.
So just call Debbie and then she'll find out. She'll say, like,
uh-huh.
I don't actually talk to him either. No one talks to him. He's busy.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's building. So they're building a barn dominium. So if he's not doing the racetrack,
mm-hmm.
he's physically hauling lumber up ladders so they can live. Like they're living in a trailer inside of a shop right now.
Mm.
So yeah, he's got other things on his mind other than Gary's truck schedule. It's hard to believe though, because why would anybody have anything else on their mind? for sure.
I was always told if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing.
So other than what you are hoping for at the boring, how many races is the truck series going to be this year?
Seven.
Seven,
the same as last year.
Same as last year. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. You guys had a lot of really good drivers last year, a lot of good talent. I mean, it's exciting to see like people like Chloe up and coming, and then you have a lot of people that used to race come back and race.
Yep.
So in fact, you've got this plaque here that you were presented by Mark Allison that showed these are all the different drivers that have raced in that series. You want to grab that and show everybody? So, Bruce, have you ever thought about racing a late model truck?
Oh, I have thought about it. I thought about it. I don't think I'd be allowed to. But.
You would, because I could put in a good word for you. I know a dude. And then you could get your name on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, very cool. Lonnie, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
He even got behind the wheel.
Tim Richter. Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
Cindy Clark.
Once. Yeah, I did it once. Maybe if I quit talking shit, he'll let me race again. But, I mean, that's a great series that you guys kind of resurrected out of, you know, people that just had those old trucks laying around, because that was a big deal, the racing trucks back in the day. So, you know, it's affordable because it's a spec engine, right?
Yes.
And what would it cost, like, if someone wanted to just arrive and drive?
They
just call you.
We really don't have arrive and drive. We have you rent the truck. And
then you have to
Do
your own setup?
Yes. Right now we don't have
the
manpower.
Do you train on the setup?
What?
Do you at least train on the setup?
Yeah, there's a base set. There's a base setup. And,
okay.
See, when you drive it, it's all taken care of.
I am a factory driver.
You just arrive and drive. So
after we
chase you around the pits like we do Kevin Terrell, find out where, you know.
Well, if it's at Blythe, I don't have any other responsibilities, so
that's
I'm all yours.
Right. That's right.
But yeah, it's a boring. It's just I'm passionate about racing. So I'm passionate about making sure the boring works. So. Whatever needs to be done. Last time I was doing lineup. So I just think it's good that everybody is cross-trained anyway. So you need a pace car driver, we could do that. You need lineup. I bring my helmet in case someone needs a driver. So just whatever, we just get it done. What else about racing? This has been a busy weekend, even though it's like January. There's still a lot of racing going on. Anybody watching Dakar?
I haven't seen it, no. Big news today was that the car series back east was sold to Junior and a bunch of other people.
Isn't that the Canadian series?
No, cars.
So it's not Canadian series?
No.
Cars.
It's out of Carolina.
So car series and Junior bought it?
Mm-hmm. With
one of the NASCAR guys.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Kevin Harvick. I believe it was Kevin Harvick.
I think four of them that bought the deal. It was a very well-run series.
And so they're just going to keep it running, or what kind of announcement did they make around that?
Just that they purchased it.
Okay.
That just came out this morning, I think.
Very cool. So between snowdrifts, I haven't got up to date on the news of today. So that's I think there's a big surge in local racing. So that's cool. And then what else? Oh, the Chili Bowl.
Yep, Chili Bowl's this week. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Anybody watching that?
I'll be watching that. Yeah.
Haven't yet. I think half of our audience is actually watching that because you can watch it live on Flow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's you ever thought about racing one of those?
No.
No.
No, that would be.
I would think
that's
it'd be
a hard no.
But it'd be similar to the power to weight ratio.
Yeah,
I think.
Nah, I think they have a lot more power and a lot.
Yeah, wouldn't that be more fun?
Less weight, actually.
So no. Twice the fun.
Yeah. Twice the fun. Yeah.
No.
Twice the flips.
Yeah, there are a lot of flips. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
There are.
Back in the day, though, didn't they race legend cars on dirt at the dirt track? I think this was before my time, but. Or they were called. They were. Was it legend cars?
Dwarf cars.
I think dwarf cars.
Dwarf
too.
Cars are different. They still run today.
Yeah, and they're going to beat. Oh, that's coming up too. The dwarf cars are racing on the dirt track in Las Vegas with the Working Man's National.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
spot.
They added Abbott's crew with the dwarf cars.
Hmm.
Be pretty fast. I could even if I had a cage in my skid plate car. They have a class for four bangers. Smotherman was out there before.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I think the going back to the legend cars, though, that's like you were saying, that gives you the it keeps your mind sharp and your focus. And if you it's like if you could do good in a legend car, you could probably do good in anything.
Yeah, that's why I think the NASCAR drivers do so well.
Yeah. Just like when I met Lynn St. James, she would always practice in like a shifter cart because it's the same kind of power
right.
to weight.
Oh,
for,
that's,
for Indy
that's
cars. Yeah. So it's a good, if you keep your skills up in that, then that made her successful in an Indy car. So you with your skills in the legend car, you can drive anything.
Well, you keep working me on getting another car.
Oh, I just like racing. You could keep the legend car. That's fine. Talk about any other car. What else is coming up this weekend is the, what is it? I don't know any other races this weekend. You guys are off until the 21st.
Yep.
2-day show. You're going to make both days?
Yep.
Skip that Raiders stuff?
Yeah, as long as the Raiders don't go to the playoffs. Oh, that's right. We're not.
Oh, that's right. They're not. So you're safe there. And then that's the third race of points in that series. And then there's a fourth race in February with the Legends car.
My schedule isn't out that far.
Okay.
But I'll be there, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, after the 21st is...
So we're practicing on the end of January, then we're going back to the Bullring? I mean, going back to the road course?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, because that's a whole different setup
that's
change.
That's a complete setup,
Not that you care.
Just write the check. Peyton, here you go again.
Yeah, not that you have to worry about it, but someone does. So, it's just, it's registration. You don't have to practice, but it's registration and practice on the 28th.
Got it. Okay.
But you don't have to. And then, the first week of February is like another race, but it's not for points.
Now, I also from Kevin Terrell, I heard that we're going to be doing some quarter mile out in front of the main grandstands of the big track.
Yeah. They didn't want to do it in the infield anymore, so it's going to be in front. So that's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to go win that one again?
I'm going to try, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one
to
win for sure.
Hope to get a lot of cars out there.
They limited it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what – you got to get Kevin here to tell us how many cars to be there because, like you said –
he's been working on this for late.
Well, Bruce, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, what's your car number? Okay, so smash the home state challenge for number 53.
Come out and say hi to me.